couple of announcements. The a reminder that the council will be having a Zoom meeting tomorrow at 7 p.m. The call committee will be installed via Zoom on Wednesday, May the 13th at 7 p.m. The information is in the bulletin that was sent out on Google Groups. We encourage that all that are able to join in and participate in the installation of the call committee. Scholarship applications will be extended through May the 31st. So if you have any questions, you can get with Joe Davis or anyone on the scholarship committee. Gracie and Gavin, since we were not able to have the lemonade stand, still have a bunch of tomato plants that need new homes. So they're accepting donations for those plants, and 100% of the donation will go to the backpack program. All you have to do is pull up. They're sitting there. Get what you need. Drop a donation in the jar. There's cups there to put the plants in. If you're scheduled to do assisting minister or the altar flowers, we encourage all to continue to do those duties. If you are unable, please reach out to myself and we'll get it covered. I want to personally thank Mr. Dean Chapman and the property committee for all the hard work in getting the carpet installed. It looks great. We appreciate it. Thank you. I want to thank Joe Davis for providing today's message. And we'll move on to birthdays, please. Happy birthday to Scott Black, David Brown, Mickey Conrad, Scott Varner. Happy anniversary to Chad and Caroline Hedrick, Kelly Carrick, and Robert Napolitano. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another, to following the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life with all the world. For he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracie and Gavin, like to come forward. Good morning. How are y'all today? Just good, not excellent. You still enjoying school? Miss your friends quite a bit, don't you? Okay. So I got a question for you. How many of you know directions pretty well? Now, you guys could probably make it from your house to school pretty easy, right? So how about if you had to give directions to go to the beach? Could you do that? Yeah, that's a good answer there. So that's good. Well, how about to Washington, D.C.? Probably not. Probably wouldn't want to go there anyway, right? You'd have to fly, you think? You could probably drive it in about 5.5 hours, 5 hours, something like that. Okay, well, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is going to tell his disciples that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So the way. When you guys travel, mom and dad sometimes use navigation aids, like a GPS, like Google Maps or something like that. Yeah, I do too. So we're going to play a little game. I have hidden a couple of objects for you guys to look for. And I'm going to give you the directions to find them. Okay? You ready? All right, stand up. Okay, I need you to walk to the 6th pew on this left side. Okay, walk left or walk straight ahead all the way to the window over there. Okay, now come back up to the choir loft. Going up in there. All right. And come on back over here. All right. Did you find where you were going? Why not?
She went in a circle.
She went in a circle. Okay. But why didn't you get to where you were supposed to be? Go ahead and say it. I didn't what? Ah, I didn't give you enough directions. You're right. So you think Jesus gave enough directions? Okay, let's try this. Let's try it again, okay? So we're going to see if we... You didn't find the objects, though, did you? And you can come back with anything. All right, let's try it again. All right, just walk up the aisle until I tell you to stop. All right, turn around and ask Chip if he's got something for you. There's one for each of you. So what did you find this time? A cross. Okay. Was it a little bit easier to find it this time? Yeah, I gave you pretty simple and straightforward directions. And guess what? It's exactly what Jesus does for us. He gives us straightforward and simple directions. That He is the way to the Father. He is the way that we reach God. And the way that we follow or should follow every day to become better people and to do good works. And in the gospel lesson today, He even says that His disciples would do greater works than He did. And we'll talk a little bit about that too. All right. Let's pray with me. Lord, show us the way. Show us the truth. And show us the life. So that we can trust in You and do greater things in Your name. Amen. All right, thank you guys. Forgot, here you go.
The first reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 7. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord. The Psalms is Psalms 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. The second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. The stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the night that he's to be arrested, Jesus shares his final words with his disciples. As the one through whom God is known, he promises to go before them and act on their behalf. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning. If you pray with me, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I started working on this sermon 2 weeks ago. I continued working on this sermon. I looked at 4 or 5 different angles on it. I looked at the opening part of the scripture where Jesus is calming the disciples down. I looked at, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then finally, I sort of settled on the last verses 12 through 14. So today's gospel is from the night of the Last Supper. It's part of Jesus' final discourse with the disciples before his arrest and his eventual death. So since Lent, we have reflected on Jesus' ministry and the preparation of these disciples to spread the word throughout the world. We can only imagine the emotions, the distress, the frustration that the disciples must have gone through when Jesus tells them that one among them sitting there that night was going to betray him. And when he told Peter, the rock, that he would deny Jesus three times. If there's one question I think I would have had if I would have been in that room, now what are we supposed to do now? What in the world are we supposed to do now? Frustration, uncertainty. So in verses 12 and 13 and 14, Jesus answers by empowering the disciples and us. Basically, Jesus' followers will. One, they will do the works that Jesus did while he was on the earth. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. So what works did Jesus do? This list is quite long, so bear with me. He healed. He taught. He included outcasts, women, Gentiles, Jews, Samaritans, even tax collectors. He loved all people. He was compassionate and showed mercy. He led people. He prayed for people. He encouraged people. He challenged us to live as God's chosen people. He was a radical who rebuked hypocrisy and hypocrites. He spoke out against the treatment of the poor, the orphaned, the widower, the widows, and any others that were distressed. And he did all these works and more, and did so as one of us, incarnate, became flesh and human. We've got some pretty big shoes to fill here if we're going to do the works that he did. Followers of Jesus will also, number two, do even greater works than Jesus did. And in fact, we'll do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. Greater works than Jesus? At first glance, we think there's no way we can do greater works than Jesus. Probably we move to the miracles, the raising of Lazarus, the turning of water into wine, the healing of the leper, many more miracles, the loaves and the fish. So how in the world can we do works greater than Jesus? Think that Jesus really didn't mean that his followers would do greater works in the volume of quality, because only God can do what God can do. We cannot, as humans, do what God can do. So on earth, Jesus himself was limited and confined to geography and time, a very small area and 2.5 to 3 years of ministry. But it is in that time that the Holy Spirit dwelled in him. And now he is passing that Holy Spirit to his disciples, so that his disciples, and then down the line us, would be blessed and would be given the tools to go out into the wider world and do the works that Jesus did quantity-wise. We have all of our lives, not just 3 years, to do that. And last, Jesus' followers will, three, pray and receive direction and power for doing the works of Jesus. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Why prayer? Well, through prayer, God opens up our hearts for all the possibilities. Through prayer, God awakens us to our task. And through prayer, we find the motivation to do what He has called us to do. This is the promise that we can ask God for anything, and we will receive it from God. But there are conditions to our asking. We can't ask for anything selfishly. We can't expect God to give us something that is a selfish need or a want. Not a need, a want, truly. It is just a want. We can't expect God to be like a grand vending machine that we can just go up and punch buttons and poof, what we want comes out. As we continue to move through our current health crisis and the problems it creates for us daily, Jennifer and I have been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, and our conversations about how things have impacted our lives. I'm a little bit more tired when I get home. The different nature of what we're doing. Fortunately, in my family, myself, my wife, and my two daughters have all been considered essential employees. Sarah Grace as an EMT, Mary as an editor with WLOS-TV in Asheville, and Jennifer and myself working for the school system. So we've been blessed and fortunate, but not everybody has been in that same boat. We haven't had to make the same adjustments that many people have had to make. In fact, just last night, I was talking with my wife, and I said, if somebody were actually watching me over the past 2 months, they would say, you are the most boring person I have ever seen in my life, because there haven't been that many adjustments. The biggest concern that Jennifer and I have had was, where's the beef? Fortunately, we had our stockpile of toilet paper already. Thank you, Amazon. But our lives haven't really changed that much. And I feel guilty about that. Yes, I've been inconvenienced. I don't get to see the students. I don't get to do discipline. I don't have to worry about loading the buses every morning and afternoon, or unloading the buses in the morning and loading them in the afternoon. I don't have to worry about going to sporting events. And I enjoy those, but I haven't been inconvenienced that much. So as I look back, I think, what works have I done to help? More importantly, what can I do to help? My level of guilt kicks in, knowing that I've missed many opportunities to do works that Jesus would have me do. Many of you may feel the same way. So, where do we start? What works is God leading us to do, and where do we do them? The Holy Spirit is empowering believers to carry out His works around the world. Today, across the world, believers like us are doing the works of Jesus. They're living out the presence of Christ in our world. So how do we do works? Greater works that Jesus speaks of? I think we have to take time and look at the world around us and respond, as our mission statement says, in loving action to a needy world. We can pray for wisdom, compassion, and willingness to do God's works. God is at work in our ordinary lives every day. We can ask Him to guide us and seek out opportunity to do those good works. We can continue to do the works of our church within our community. And while it is important for us to do so through the church, that's not the only place that we can do God's work. We can go out into the communities. we can help people with shopping. We can help people by continuing to be there for them, picking up the phone, communicating to those that have very little family and very few friends around. We can think about the forgotten. We can think about those that need us in this important time. In response, we can also explore areas, other areas where we can express God's works in practical ways. Feeding and clothing others. As I mentioned, talking to people. It's one of those things. What's one of the first punishments or consequences that we give kids in elementary school if they misbehave? Silent lunch. Tell a 7-year-old they're not going to be able to talk for 25 minutes. That's like a life sentence in prison. Those are people that we need to seek out. Those that they have little voice. And they may be struggling right now. We can pray and support those who are first responders. We can pray and support graduating seniors from high school and college as they move into the next phases of their lives without the traditional graduation ceremonies, without the traditional recognition, especially of their peers. And we can pray without ceasing for our country and the world. In closing, let us ask God to show us what He wants us to do. He'll not only show us, but He will empower us with the resources to fulfill His mission. And may we ever continue to make God's work, our hands, ring true. Amen.
Please join me in saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He arose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. We pray for the whole Christian community around the world, men, women, and children, that as people of faith, together we may bear faithful witness to the good news of salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, the Scriptures remind us of the blessings which come through godly wives and mothers in Proverbs 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So on this day, we thank you for all Christian mothers. We thank you for the things they have taught us about you. They have helped to lead us, guide us, and mature our faith. Give mothers everywhere strength, faith, and courage to meet each day's challenges. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our world, that those places trapped in strife, discord, and hate may again know measurable peace and stability. We pray for our nation, its political leaders, law enforcement, that we might be exemplary in upholding all that is good and right. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our leaders at every level of government, that they be good stewards who serve to govern justly and wisely. Give them wisdom and courage to act and apply your ways and words in the service of the people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray at this time for those who are challenged with temporary illness and those who are weighed down with chronic or progressive illness. Give strength to those who are afflicted, Lord. And at this time, we remember our members, our friends, and all others who we name in our hearts now in need of your comforting touch. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our first responders, healthcare workers, and caretakers of patients and family members dealing with COVID-19 and other illnesses. Grant them the courage, wisdom, and patience needed to bring respite and healing to others. Protect them from the illness they encounter and equip them with the strength to deal with the physical and mental demands they face. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Like Stephen, there are many every day who are persecuted and tortured for proclaiming you as Lord. Give them the grace and strength that you gave Stephen to fearlessly speak your truth and love and to forgive and pray for their enemies and to remain faithful to the end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for being the way to your Father's house, the truth that sets us free, and the life which raises us out of sin and death. We bless and adore you for being, above all, the love that will never let us go. Give us grace to share your love with everyone we meet, especially those who have lost their way, strayed from the truth, and are haunted by death. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for all those who have completed their earthly lives and who now rejoice in your eternal realm within the place you have prepared for them with all the glorious saints and angels. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As Christ Jesus has shared his peace with each of us, let us share that peace with others. Peace of the Lord be with you all. Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all of the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, you promise and provide the true bread from heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant that we who believe and share the sacrament of his body and blood may abide in him and he in us, that we may be filled with the power of his endless life, now and forever. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Now we will share our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.